Yeah, that's become my trademark. Like,
Hey, and welcome to Video Game Roundtable, episode 10, recorded on May 2nd, 2000. Oh, actually, you know what? I confused myself because I said it was episode 10 and then started to say 2010 and thought I already said 10. Oh, well, this is Jonah Falcon, and with me is the inestimable Richard Elliott.
Inestimable? I can't even say it.
Inestimable.
Inestimable.
Well, there's the podcast title right there, Inestimable. Anyway, so Richard, have you found a way to get into the Halo Reach beta yet?
Well, let me just start off by apologizing to everyone who follows me on Twitter because, basically I've been spamming Twitter with retweets and it's been chaos.
Been begging for a code.
Yes.
Like a vagrant on the street.
Mm-hmm. I just can't get in. In fact, I've given up trying.
Do you have ODST yet?
Yes. I picked that up the other day.
Well, then.
Just in case, but it looks like I will be having to use it.
Well, you know what? I have a feeling that if you were able to get a Halo code, you would have been able to sell that copy of ODST for a lot more than you pay for it. Although they did set up, they did mention the length of the beta. It's going to be 17 days.
17 days.
17 days. And everything I've been reading about the beta, all the previews, I posted a 35-minute preview of the video of the beta in action. Everybody seems to think it is beyond fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've heard some people enjoying certain aspects of it and then others saying no. We hate that bit, but I mean...
But it's a beta.
At the end of the day, it's a beta. It's things will change.
Richard things is just itching to say beta.
Beta. Yeah, but I mean, people are complaining that the grenades are too powerful. People are saying, oh, the grenades are just perfect. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's how people see things. I mean, people who sucked at grenades before are saying, oh, we love the grenades now because they're super powerful. People who use them all the time are saying, well, no, they're a bit too powerful. Well, I mean, it's half of the problem for Bungie is working out what is personal preference.
Well, they said the game is polished. All they're really doing right now is play balancing, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, it's all about the balancing. This is what the whole beta's for. Yeah. It's for balancing, but the thing is, the task now is to work out if people are complaining about genuine balancing issues or if they're just complaining about personal preferences.
You know what I think? I think that Halo is getting to the point of Street Fighter in terms of the obsession of the minutia of everything. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, Street Fighter fans, you know, if you're one pixel off, they'll see it. And I think Halo is getting that way, you know?
I mean, there's been people complaining about... the Eurogamer, was it? Someone's posted like a thorough technical analysis of the beta and going on about the frame rate. Actually, the frame rate, it's I think it's a solid 60 frames per second, or was it 30 frames per second? Something like that. But
sure.
When it's in confined spaces and there's been grenades thrown all over the place, the frame rate tends to dip, but only a little bit.
Yeah.
And then when it's in maps which are like wide open spaces, it's just consistent. It's like a solid frame rate. It doesn't drop at all. So, I mean, it's like I said, things are going to change, but I mean, this is perfect. This is like a demo for Halo.
It's one big advertisement, actually.
Yeah. That's all it is.
Speaking of Halo...
They even have adverts for the actual beta. They have adverts for the advert, in a sense.
Well, speaking of that, have you seen the teaser trailer for Halo Reach?
Yes. Well, the live-action trailer.
Right. And it's interesting. You know, it's very brief. Well, not brief. It's 2.5. There's not much content there. It's basically seeing Carter getting injected with his Spartan juice or the stuff that they use to make it so that your skeleton isn't crushed like a tin can when you put the Spartan armor on.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my gay friends have thought it was really a really hot video, actually.
You've seen things being, like, drilled into your brain and stuff like that. There are a few, like, it does, when I was watching it, when the drills were coming, like, close to the head, I could feel myself, like, kind of gripping on to the arms of my chair, just like, oh, this isn't going to be nice. But at the end of the day, all these trailers do is just prove that there is a need for a Halo film. I mean, there are people watching these trailers saying, these are amazing. Why isn't there a full-length version of this?
Yeah, well, maybe District 9 did something about that because it was directed by Neil Blomkamp. It got nominated for Best Picture, so that solidified his status because the reason why they didn't make the Halo film was that people were unsure, executives were unsure of Neil Blomkamp's capability.
And there was a funding issue and stuff like
that. Well, that's why there was a funding issue, because they were unsure that Neil Blomkamp could pull it off. They wanted Peter Jackson himself to direct it.
Mm-hmm. But so, at the end of the day, I hope that the staff at like Warner Brothers and 20th Century Fox are just sat there just biting their tongues right now, because the success of District 9, these trailers are proving that we want a Halo film, and no one's giving it to us.
Speaking of Halo, Halo 2 will not die, or at least Xbox Live on original.
I find this really cute, how people
it poignant.
People just can't let things die, can they?
Yeah, there's now only 12 people left.
Only 12?
Let me explain the story. There are now 12 people who have their Xboxes running, either as the original Xbox or the 360, and not logging off Halo 2. Now, if you don't log off, you remain in. So these hardy souls are keeping Halo 2 alive and Xbox Live by not logging off. So they're playing, and when they're not playing, they just leave their Xbox on. You know, they refuse to play the PC version. They apparently refuse to play the PC version, and they're just keeping it alive. And you know, it is sort of poignant. You know. So that reminds me of the poem by Dylan Thomas. You know the poem, "Do not gentle unto that good night. Old age should burn in rage at close of day. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. The wise men at their end know the dark is right. Because their worlds had forked no lightning, they do not gentle into that good night." They just refuse to let it go. It's on principle, really.
I mean, they've even been bribed by Microsoft with Reach beta
and there you go. You should have done the same thing. You should have kept logged into Halo 2.
Oh yes, because hindsight is such a great thing, isn't it? You just, if only I could have just sat there and left my Xbox on and let it red ring.
Guys, I'm pretty sure these people already own ODST.
It's just the thing is, though, that I mean, from the way that Microsoft has kind of given them the codes, it kind of makes me think that these people are kind of stopping any like plans from going ahead.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There must be like a total server, like no one on the servers for them to proceed with the next step, which is why they're kind of bribing them as such.
You know how Microsoft could really make them happy? It's very simple. Retrofit the Halo 2 original Xbox, you know, the thing you can download, with an ability to play it on 360 Live.
What do you mean?
Well, you can buy Halo 2 from Halo Originals, right?
Yes. Now,
you can't play online it anymore, but what they can do is they can remove the special matchmaking and all that, and just put in an ability to play on regular 360 Live.
I suppose it could work in theory, but
you don't really need that special clan matchmaking or matchmaking. Just have it so that you invite friends and you can play.
Yeah. I mean, it's cute how the people are still like holding on, don't want to let go of the memory of Halo 2.
But It's not the memory of Halo 2, because if they wanted that, the PC version has online game.
Yeah, I know. But
and
it's,
achievements.
But it's different, though. It's the Xbox version of their Xbox. Exactly.
They loved it since 2001. They've been playing it since 2002. Well, on live on 2002. They didn't start playing Halo until I think 2004.
Mm.
But still, you know. I mean, that's sort of a testament to how good the matchmaking was in Halo 2, because a lot of these people prefer the matchmaking. It isn't that the fact that, you know, it's a better game. It just has better, you know, it has clan support and it has better matchmaking than the current Halo 3 does.
Yeah, well, I mean, hopefully these are some of the things that should be, like, the improvements in finger quotes that weren't really in improvements on Halo 3, hopefully are going to get, have been.
Yeah, whatever happened to Forge upgrade. Anyway? I mean, you know, I know some people use it, but it was the big thing. But it was upstaged by making your own videos.
Hmm. Well, I mean, the thing was, it was a map editor where you couldn't physically edit the map. It was just placing objects around. And I think that's the big downside. It's one of those things where, like, if you're going to have a map editor, you've got to let them be able to edit the map.
Like Far Cry 2?
Yes.
Okay, well, let's get off Halo now.
Yeah, I think we've kind of killed it.
Well, we'll never kill Halo. Speaking of Halo, let's go straight to Bungie now. Now, if you remember last week, we talked about Bungie saying they wouldn't be making another Halo game for 10 years. Well, now we know why.
Yeah, that was like the big announcement this week, which was like a OMG Megaton kind of.
Yeah, especially when you think of all the things in context that go with this as well.
Yeah, the game has suddenly changed.
Well, let's first say what happened. Let's first say what happened. Bungie has signed a 10-year agreement with Activision, of all people, to make an exclusive new IP. Apparently, this had been in the works for the past 9 months, which would make it like 3 months after Microsoft gave Bungie their freedom, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a win for everybody, because, let's see, Microsoft still has Halo. They own the IP, and Frank O'Connor is still with 343 Industries to shepherd the project. Bungie is continuing to work on Halo Reach. Bungie gets a win because they get to make their new IP, whatever it is. Activision gets a big win because they're still dealing with the negative publicity from this entire Infinity Ward mess. So they replace Infinity Ward with probably one of the most respected developers out there, with Bungie. Now, keep in mind, Bungie is not acquired by Activision. This is just an agreement. Sony is obviously pleased, because now they'll be getting a Bungie game on their PS3.
Well, it's not for certain, but I mean, the chances are it will probably be coming, whatever it is.
This is Activision we're talking about. It's
yeah.
Wii 2, so, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing
the
is...
the PS and the PSP.
The thing is, I don't think that it's such a positive thing for Activision, and the main reason is that people have kind of jumped to conclusions. People have heard the word Activision and Bungie and put two and two together and come up with five in saying that Bungie has been acquired by Activision. They haven't. It's just a pure partnership. But the thing is,
I don't care. You know, this is the same thing that EA is doing with Respawn Entertainment, which is...
Yeah, exactly.
But the thing is that, you know, the funny thing is with this, Activision is this and Activision is that. I wonder if people remember a couple of years ago, they were saying the same exact thing about Electronic
EA. Yeah.
You know?
But the thing is, though, that people have kind of seen how Infinity Ward was treated. And because...
But the thing is, that we don't know...
There are a lot of Halo fans in
this world. They were treated badly. You know, that's the thing is, there's a perception they were treated badly. But for all we know, Infinity, you know, Jason West and Vincent Zampella brought this on themselves. Because they like little gits, you know, with threatening Activision with this and going off to EA and making and talking about, hey, you know, you can get the Call of Duty IP because we... And then all that stuff, you know. So we really don't know what's going on until the lawsuit is the double lawsuit, because now, let's see.
You can't sue us, we'll sue you.
Activision sued West and Zampella. Now, Zampella and West have sued Activision for $500 million. I don't think anybody's going to come out of this a winner.
No, but the thing is,
let's get back to Bungie anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say, people have kind of seen, like, there are a lot of Halo fans in this world, and, like, people kind of see Bungie as, like, one of the great developers out there. I mean, if you think about it,
but
how many great developers are there at
the moment?
But
the thing is, that's a conception, though. That's a perception.
No, well, I know, but I know there are hundreds of good developers out there, but, I mean, the main developers out there that have, like, a huge following are Bungie,
but
Valve,
Here's the thing, is that Bungie has become a one IP developer. I mean, people seem to forget that some of their IPs really bombed, like Oni, which was on the PC and PS2. That did not sell whatsoever.
I know, but the thing is, though, that now that they've kind of made a name for themselves,
but
and they've got good talent on board,
they can now move
it to the next level.
If Activision is expecting another IP as popular as Halo, they better not hold their breaths.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously you've got to start from somewhere. Now, I mean,
the reason why Microsoft doesn't really care is because they have the killer IP, and they still have the same people working on it that's always worked on it.
Mm-hmm. But that's the thing. You've always got to have something. Like, you've always got to start somewhere in life, okay? Let's just use this metaphor. So, kind of, Halo is kind of Bungie's step on the ladder. Now that they've kind of made a big name for themselves on the international kind of gaming circuit, so to speak, they've now got a foot on the ladder.
Yeah, but this is
they've
this
now
is
made a name for themselves. That's
this
why
is be
now this
a really
is
important a, game because whatever they make is going to be compared to Halo, and if it doesn't sell a gajillion copies, it's going to be viewed as a failure.
Exactly, but the thing is,
Activision doesn't care because this is all about PR for them right now. I mean,
well,
yeah,
sure
they want to have a massive IP, you know, they want to have another Halo if it's possible, or forget that, they want another Call of Duty if it's possible, you know.
I'm sure they care because, I mean, obviously, if they didn't care,
there's rumors that they would be putting Bungie to work on the next Call of Duty, but that can be forgotten because Treyarch is now shepherding that series. And while we're on the conversation of Call of Duty and Treyarch, the newest Call of Duty game has been announced, named, and a teaser trailer has been posted, and it's called Call of Duty Black Ops.
Yeah, I mean, there were some rumors going around that was going to be the name, and there are some of the things that happened in the original rumors, some of the things that were mentioned, haven't officially been announced yet or shown in the trailer, but hopefully, if it's true, I mean, there's some several things that were rumored, which I'd like to see come out of the other end. So, I mean,
you watch the game trailer's pop-up block version.
Yeah.
What important little hints did the teaser give?
It was basically going through a slow-mo version of the original trailer. And in there were things like they were showing you like the model of helicopter that were being flown around. Like kind of solidifying the fact that it's going to be set in Vietnam, well,
most
at least
of
some of it.
Yeah.
There are also shots of people in pressure suits, kind of like space suit kind of thing.
Future
so, I mean,
war. Woo!
Yeah. So there'll probably be some kind of spacey kind of mission. Don't expect anything like Star Wars kind of laser blasters, but
a goldfish. How about Moonraker?
Yeah. But something along the lines of like flying an aircraft that's just like peeking into space, but going back down and going on a recon mission, that kind
it
of thing.
It sounds like what people have been saying. It sounds like they're going to be examining the British SAS from World War II to the present and maybe the near future.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a kind of, I mean, from the trailer, the main kind of story that they're setting up is like some kind of soldier has been put in a lab,
and his name is not Sam Fisher, although some people seem to think it is. It has that Sam Fisher vibe.
Yeah, but they're trying to re-jog his memory, trying to make him come up with the answers to the questions, kind of thing. And then that's also that's triggering memories of Vietnam.
Is he number six and he's looking for number one? What?
Yeah, it's there are some things in there that are also coming out, like there appears to be some kind of helicopter mission where you actually pilot a helicopter or you sit in the cockpit of a helicopter. For all we know, it could be just a cutscene. Like, you know how the Call of Duty cutscenes normally are, like, you are walking, but you can't actually physically move. It's just the camera doing it for you, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So you could be just, like, walking into a cockpit and it flies off, that kind of thing.
Speaking of Sam Fisher, Ubisoft has gone out of its way to debunk rumors that Splinter Cell Conviction is coming to the PS3. And they said, rumor control, Splinter Cell Conviction is exclusive to the Xbox 360. The PC version is coming out next week, said Ubi on its Twitter feed. I'm going to debunk the debunking and say it's coming to the PS3. It is. It's one thing, the box doesn't have only an Xbox 360 tag, and Splinter Cell has never been an Xbox exclusive. I mean, it's coming to the PS3.
At the end of the day, most games these days are multi-platform. The development kind of cost is too high to keep it exclusive unless Microsoft or Sony or whoever it is paying out mega bucks, kind of like GTA expansion pack style prices. And even then, now that the sales of the GTA expansion packs have kind of bombed and they've had to
bomb. I mean,
well,
Microsoft
on,
made out like bandits. I mean, it bombed on the PS3, but it didn't bomb on the 360. It didn't make as much money as they expected, but they still made a tidy profit.
Well, yes, but I mean, Microsoft did not get their money back.
They made $20 million out of the deal. They made 20 additional million. They spent $50 million, got back $70 million. That's a profit. And the other thing is that the amount that they got in terms of PR and publicity and sales of GTA 4, made it more than worth it, and it was a win for Rockstar because they got the money from Microsoft to even make it. Of course, the funny thing is that they announced the deal, but Rockstar at the time had no idea what they were going to do with it. It took them a long time to figure out, we'll make an they didn't know what kind of downloadable content to make.
Like, crap, we've got this money, we've got to make something.
Now, to be
let's
fair,
just
they
do
made,
something that ties
made some,
up together.
Made some expansions that were a lot better than the core game, but still.
Yeah, I especially like the way that it was all kind of like tied together in some respects. Like there was, like the bank, heist, that kind of, those kind of moments where it was all kind of tied together. But getting off the subject here, I mean.
Well, it's still on the subject. I mean, well, but the thing is, Conviction got. Around 85s basically. Do you think this will sell on the PS3 if it comes out like in a year or so, or even 6 months from now?
I don't know. I don't think it will sell as well as it has done, because I mean, some people will see it as an old game. I mean, when BioShock came to the PS3, that was kind of it did nowhere near as well as on the 360.
That version of BioShock had multiplayer and the extra stuff, and still didn't do as well.
I think the thing is, if it's not multi-platform out of the gate,
even if it is multi-platform
later on, it's not going to be as successful as you would want it to be.
Right. Now, speaking of Grand Theft Auto type games, APB now has a release date, and it has a pricing structure, which I find very interesting. Now, if you recall, the first episode of Video Game Roundtable had me saying that APB was being released that week. Wrong! But then again, I was going by release list, and they're always wrong, So, but
yeah,
it's coming out June 29th.
I'm really kind of intrigued by the pricing structure.
Yeah, so am I. And I think it's actually a pricing structure that all MMOs, not just action MMOs like this, but all MMOs should follow if you're not going to go free to play. Now, here's how it goes. Now, you buy the game for $50. It'll include 50 hours of playtime. Notice it, hours. It's not the usual 1 month. It's actually hours.
So effectively, that's just over 2 days of solid play. So
if you're a casual player and you only play like 1 hour a day,
yeah,
it's gonna be almost 2 months. that, by the way, that does not include player customization, socializing, and marketplace stuff. That's only the actual gameplay. So you could hang out with friends and not have to worry about your time being sucked away. Now, it's the pricing structure that follows is even more interesting, which I really like. Now, you can then buy 20 additional hours for $7. However, you can buy a month of unlimited time for $10, and with discounts for 90 days and 180 days. Now, what this does is that if you're only a casual gamer, you're only going to play this every so often, you only need $7 to get 20 more hours, and that'll be a lot of time for you. However, if you find yourself playing and playing and playing and playing, then you only have to spend $10 for unlimited time during that month. So it rewards the people who only play it casually, and it rewards the people who are hardcore and play it all the time. Because if you play it all the time, then you just buy the month's time, which is more economical at $10 than it is for $7 at 20 minutes. And if you really play a lot, then you get the discounts at 3 months and 6 months.
This is one of those kind of like, duh, how could anyone like not do this in the past? How has it taken so long for someone to finally
you're not pressured to play every day, because you're not thinking that you're not getting your money's worth. Now, if you don't play every day, you're still not ticking, you know, it's not like you have this timer on you saying you better play because at the end of this month, you won't be able to play. No, it's if you play an hour, well, you still have 17 hours left. You still have 14 hours left. And if you're like, you know, I like to play some more, just spend another $7. However, if you're playing all the time, you know, those hours tick away fast, but it says, hey, listen, you know what? You play a lot. For only $10, you can play as much as you want for a month.
It's kind of like, especially like when times are hard, like they are at the moment, and people haven't got as much money as they did. I mean, like the kind of like WoW people who didn't play it as much were kind of being robbed of, like, were basically literally being robbed because they didn't want to invest all that time in it. They were losing out, essentially.
And the other thing, and there's some other things that are very hidden here too. Now picture this: what if you can't log in because there's too much lag? Well, you're not being penalized because you're going by hours. Mm-hmm. You know, so you're not on, so you're not, you don't have any time being wiped away. Suppose you buy the game and you say, meh, and you only like play 3 hours and you put it away. Well, if they patch it and make it better, you can come back a couple of months later to see how it is, and you still have time left on your account.
It's just stupid how we've been, up until this point, it's always been a monthly thing, or it's always been a free-to-play, but you've been bombarded with adverts.
I'm pretty sure APB will have some microtransactions too, but no matter how much time you have, you can still go on to sort of a PlayStation Home-like situation and chat with your friends and customize your deal, and you're not being charged for it. So I think that this should be the model that's moving on forward, you know? I mean, I know that some MMOs in China where free-to-play make 100 times more than WoW makes. The reason why this podcast is late is because I went to LA Games Conference. Now, there were no really games for me to preview, although I did see one game for the iPad that totally blew me away by Fish Labs, which is sort of a freelancer type game, and it's multiplayer. So I'm going to get into that next podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But let me ask you a question, Richard. How did you ever play Freelancer or Elite or any of those kind of games?
Nope. I know people who have played them, and I mean,
they worship at those games because it's combat and merchant stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
But I mean, those people are kind of like trailed off now because it's starting to get stale.
The thing is that no one plays space simulations. You have EVE Online, you have the new game that's coming out by NetDevil, and another game that's coming out. Yeah, the space simulation used to be you couldn't swing a dead cat without hitting another Wing Commander or a clone of it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, getting back to APB. So this is a win because now I can buy the $50 game, get the 50 hours, and if I don't like it, I can put it away for a while, and if I find out that they've patched it, I can put it back in and see if I like it and still have time to play it. If I like it, you know, if I only just like it, I can just buy 20 hours, but if I really like it, I can go for the monthly subscription. You know, it's a great play model, and I hope people start adopting it.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, there are some pre-order bonuses which are going around the internet, but at the moment, there isn't anything on Steam yet, which is why I'm holding out for it. Speaking of Steam...
Richard and his PC, you know, and the thing is, he's always been a Mac guy, but you know what? Now he's got Steam. Oh, well, yeah, let's not forget, the Mac version of Steam just got a release date. I think it's out either tomorrow or
Tuesday.
It's on the
14th,
okay, so it's a few weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and the win about that is that everything you buy on PC Steam... You have it on
as long as there's a Mac version available.
I'm just saying, but if you bought Peggle on the PC version, hey, guess what? You now got it on your Mac. No extra charge.
And the thing about Steam, which I absolutely love, I know people who've had Steam for years are going on about like, oh, here we go. But as a kind of new Steam user, I have only just been introduced to like the kind of rush snap 2-hour deals.
Yeah.
This week I could have gone bankrupt the amount I have
that's
spent
the entire point. I bought Deus Ex and the sequel for $5 because I already owned them, but I wanted them discless and not have to deal with CD cracks and all that stuff. So I spent the money for that.
I spent £1.50, I think it was, or was it £2.50, on Grand Theft Auto Vice City, and I am absolutely loving that. In fact, I've gone through my iTunes collection, created a playlist of all the songs that were released, decent songs on there that were released before 1986.
I have a three disc
MP3 player on it.
I have a three disc new way. You're breaking up again. Okay, I have a three disc new wave. From the 80s, extended mixes of everything. So I have like a 9-minute mix of Iran by A Flock of Seagulls. But they also upgraded Steam. They changed the interface. And it's nice. I mean, now you can see how many hours you've played and the pop-ups are better.
I mean, I've had it on the beta for a while with the new interface. But I mean, it still looks nice. It's basically how I've been seeing Steam since I've got my PC, because I mean, someone gave me a nudge on the shoulder and said, hey, activate beta, it's 10 times better than before.
No, that reminds me, we have to friend each other, so that, you know, it's true.
But when APB comes out, that's it.
Yeah, but now you're about to say something about Steam.
I'm just in love with it.
You said something was
happening.
Look,
right now, right this very second, 4 hours only, 75% off Grand Theft Auto Vice City for £1.50.
I bought the indie pack, which came with Braid and The Path and Blueberry something and World of Goo for $19.95, or was it $10? I'm not sure which, but it was you know, I wanted World of Goo. That's right, it was for $10. I wanted World of Goo, and I was intrigued about this other stuff, you know, like The Path and, you know, Blueberry Garden. You know, I already had Braid on my 360, but I said, what the heck, I'll get Braid for my PC, too. It's part of a bonus.
Well, I mean, the thing is, right now, they have the Rockstar Games collection where, like, just every single Rockstar game ever released is on there.
Every day they're coming out with a new Rockstar game for cheap.
Yeah, and right now you can get every single Rockstar game, like almost every single one ever made, for £30. I don't know what the US pricing is, but I mean, that's just about, only a few pounds extra. Yeah, there's only a few pounds extra than the Episodes on Liberty City pack, which is included in the bundle. It's madness. If you haven't already got it, pick it up now while you still can.
I've never been a fan of the GTA series, but that's just me. I wonder if they have the first two GTAs, I'll pick those up. So
yeah, you can get the classic pack, the 1 and 2. I mean, 2 I think is freeware now. So you might be able to pick that up for free.
Speed a lot. I'm sorry, we've been discussing Steam a lot on this podcast. let's get away from Steve.
Yeah.
Speed. I'm thinking about Keanu Reeves now. Speed. Let's get away from Speed. Let's not let the bus get be lower than 50 miles an hour. Okay. Getting away from Steam. Oh, boy. My brain is frozen. Okay. there's been a leak about Harmony of Despair, which was assumed to be a Castlevania title. Well, some new information is being leaked. It's not only going to be a 2D Metroidvania-style game with redone HD graphics, but it'll have six-player cooperative play. The site described the game as a Metroidvania... I'm sorry. The characters, however, will be rendered as tiny GBA DSX sprites, and the game camera will be capable of zooming out and in to reveal entire levels. That's only reported as an Xbox Live Arcade game. But six-player co-op in Castlevania?
I've never been a fan of the Castlevania series, so, I mean... I've heard people say, "Oh, it's one of the greatest game series of all time," and but yeah, I mean, at the end,
listen
of the day,
to Jonathan Howard, who is one of the writers at GameStooch. He is the expert on it, and he actually has a comment on this. He says, "I'm not buying it yet. Even with all the sprite recycling done by Konami, there isn't an original piece of artwork in those pictures." And he's referring to the joystick article. At this point, I think Konami should kill its attempts at 2D Castlevania. It's only making only fans hate them more and not bringing in any new ones. Their best bet for the franchise is a 3D adventure game like Lord of Shadows. I don't know about that. I think people want more of the same.
Well, I mean, I can't really comment on behalf of the fans because I'm not really a fan of the game. But, I mean, it's... I like how they've... The game series. I mean, I played it a few times, and like the original
the NES. Okay.
Yeah, the NES version through emulation, and I mean, because I've never really owned an NES myself, but I mean,
I have an original NES here.
The thing is, I'd really like to pick up an NES, but the thing is, now technology. I mean, they're not compatible really with LCD or plasma TVs.
Oh, there's plenty of adapters. I mean, for one thing, the NES has a composite on the back, so you're safe there. I don't know how six player co-op is going to work in a Castlevania title. Is it going to be like New Super Mario Brothers? You know, it's going to be strange.
Yeah, especially if it's a 2D game. I mean, it's kind of hard
to. Oh, I remember what I was going to say. Okay.
It's kind of hard to imagine like a kind of co-op side scroller that's not kind of like a beat 'em up or anything like that. If it's kind of like a platforming kind of Castlevania, obviously Castlevania-esque game.
Right.
It is a Castlevania.
James Rolfe, better known as the Angry Video Game Nerd, complained in his retrospective, his four-part retrospective, that all of the Castlevanias that have been released in Symphony of the Night have stayed inside the damn castle. He wishes that they would actually go, you know, outside again, you know, into the forests and the towns and all that. Now it's constantly Metroidvania, and he wants to see them actually go outside, and this apparently isn't it. You know what? I think Konami is missing the boat here. What would you think of a Castlevania MMO?
I personally wouldn't be interested. It's not one of those kind of things that would rock my boat, but...
I don't know. They need some sort of change. I mean, you know, Metroidvania type games are fun. You know,
agree that they need to freshen it up a little bit.
Yeah, we all love Shadow Complex, but still, you know.
It's not
turning into Mario.
Yeah.
By the way, I saw that guy with glasses, you know, the Nostalgia Critics review of Captain N, and my God, what did they do to Simon Belmont in that cartoon series? Jeez, that is not the interpretation I would have ever gotten from playing the games. Hi there, I'm going to be very effeminate and blonde and look like, I don't know, look like your...
That's nothing compared to like the Panasonic CD. Was it Panasonic CD versions of Zelda?
Right. Yeah, yeah, I mean, but it's not far off. Well, excuse me,
princess.
they channeled Steve Martin into Link. I wonder if Steve Martin was big at the time. Because they turned him into a little Steve Martin there.
And you've got to love like the Super Mario cartoons the Legend of Zelda ones were kind of linked to, with the guy at the end that was dressed as Mario swinging his hands swing your arms from side to side. Come on, let's all do the Mario.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
You know, you like, you know, the big IPs, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about Halo. We've been talking about Call of
GTA, Castlevania.
Well, let's talk about The Sims. And The Sims 3
is
getting a console release. Finally.
Oh.
It's going to be coming out for the Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, Wii, and Nintendo DS this fall.
Oh, isn't that lovely?
Now, the 360 and PS3 versions are going to have a special version in which the Sims can bless or curse other Sims with karma. You know, like give them instant beauty or curse them with an epic fail. Just like the PC version, they'll be able to share content, which is extremely important because The Sims 3, really, the PC version, it's all about the content sharing. It's all about, you know, making new patterns and making new sofas and sending them to friends, you know?
Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, I mean, can you remember The Sims Online?
Yeah.
I was one of the very few Brits to ever have The Sims Online because it never came out over here. But I mean, they tried to spice it up at the end of its life with this whole custom content thing, and it failed. So I mean,
well, actually, there's one MMO right now doing custom comment, and it is actually growing because of it. And that's City of Heroes, with people making their own missions, you know, and making their own villains and making their own, you know, and all these things. You know, it's like complete mission maker, and I think that is also something that every MMO should have. People able to make custom content, you know, be okayed by the developers, of course, because you don't want anything that's game-breaking. But can you imagine if people were able to create their own World of Warcraft instances for other players to do?
That would kind of be fun, but, I mean, that would kind of take away from... Because the whole thing about World of Warcraft is that they... Blizzard kind of create the content packs and sell them on individually. So, I mean, it would kind of... In some respects, if there wasn't any major updates, then, I mean, it could kind of take away from business, no, that kind of business. I mean, I know there are some rabid fans.
I don't think so. No.
Mm-hmm.
No. Anyway, getting back to The Sims 3, the 360 and PS3 version will also have Facebook integration.
Oh, this gets better and better.
Yeah, but you know what? I spent a ton of time on The Sims 3, the PC version, and you know what? I'd like to be able to return achievements for all the crap I've done. I mean, getting an achievement, ding, you cheat death. Hey, I got an achievement. You know.
At the end of the day, I mean, with the Facebook integration, I could kind of see this going the same kind of way as Uncharted 2 and Twitter. Because, I mean, not everyone wants to know that you've
What it's going to do is it's going to enable you to snap photos of something in your thing and just post it to your account. I mean, that's all it's really going to be doing. It's not going to be automatic updates, you know, like, he just had a new baby. And you're going to annoy everybody with a Twitter update about that. Like, happened in Uncharted 2. That was something that was in the beta, and Sony quickly said, this ain't working because people are getting annoyed, heck, because every time you blew your nose in Uncharted 2.
Yeah, but I'm still getting kind of annoyed with the amount of clutter on my Facebook account because people are posting about Farmville and... Pardon?
You can block certain types of news.
I know, but I mean, it gets... By the time you get on top of one thing and block it, then like the next one will be coming through the floorboards. I mean, I know this is kind of hypocritical of me because I've been retweeting on Twitter all the time, but...
Well, I have my Twitter connected with Facebook, so every time I Twitter, it goes on Facebook.
Yeah, I know quite a few people who... I mean, it's always funny to see people responding to Major Nelson's tweets on Facebook, like the tweets that kind of filter through to Facebook, and then people think he's constantly on Facebook, so they're constantly replying and not getting a response.
Well, it's like being on Game Studio, where someone makes a comment and other people hop on the comment and they just start having their own little chats within that comment, and sometimes it goes off topic, you know, so it's that sort of thing, but it's actually sort of fun to watch. Now, like I said, the only versions aren't not just for the Xbox 360 and PS3. The Wii version will have co-op play and have something called life moments in which you have these scenarios in which you get into in which you directly control your sim and have them do certain stuff. And you do it right, you get bonuses. The DS version has a similar mode, which is called story mode. So
now I can see it being marketed primarily on the Wii and being a rather big success. I think this could be one of the only big kind of third-party games on the Wii.
Oh, the Wii version will also have an extra town, which is on a beach. Now, the Wii version, I mean, the thing is that someone was skeptical about the even just the 360 and PS3 versions because it requires a lot of computer power to have all those things going on at once. I think there will be some stripped down. It'll be stripped down in a very, very, I'm not trying to.
Because that's the thing. If you think about how many Wiis are out there at the moment for the casual market, I mean, there are a lot more Wiis than there are PCs capable of running the Sims 3 for the PC.
I wonder how many people bought Harvest Moon for the Wii.
Mm. I mean, I used to like Harvest Moon. It was one of those kind of games where it was good back in the day, but
it's called Farmville now on Facebook.
Yeah.
I had a cousin who bought it, and the first 5 hours were doing almost nothing. Go to this area, talk to this person, get your axe, knock down the tree so you can cross the bridge. But the thing is that she was totally entranced by it, you know? It's like,
But it's exactly the same kind of thing as Pokemon.
No, because Pokemon apart actually from Pokemon's some fighting, you know, and
well,
I mean, you can, and
you're still going around collecting items and using them items
that way, you know.
You're still going around collecting the Poke Flute to wake up Snorlax and. Well, it's true.
I know.
Exactly the same thing.
Now, did you see the recently released videos of Pokemon Black and White?
No, I did not.
They're going into actual full 3D render. I mean, well, the environments anyway. The characters themselves are still 2D, which makes it a little bit weird when they're in this 3D environment. The battle scenes have full 3D Pokemon, though, so. And that makes me wonder, where the heck is the Wii Pokemon?
Yeah, I mean, they had that kind of WiiWare
that Pokemon doesn't count.
Ranch thing, but I mean, it's still, like, nah, that's.
Anyway.
Where's Pokemon Stadium for the Wii? That's
intriguing to me, because when they had it, I think it was for the GameCube. No, it was for the Nintendo 64. You know, you could actually take the Pokemon that you actually had in your Game Boy and put them in the stadium, you know?
Yeah, there is still a market for Pokemon. I mean,
there's still even a market for Pokemon? My God. That is incredible marketing.
Good night, ladies and gentlemen. I'm We've just had a break through. Good night.
Oh, by the way, I met Michael Pachter at the LA Games Conference. And Phil Rosenberg was there, and you're going to love this. Now, this is a view from the top panel, right? And every time he was asked a question, Phil Rosenberg kept on pimping the PS3 and talking about his Blu-ray capability. Now it's going to have, and the moderator got annoyed and said, essentially, this is a games conference. You can talk about PS3 games if you want, but stop talking about the Blu-ray. I bet you can't not talk about the Blu-ray. And you know what? Phil couldn't do it. Yeah. You know,
so
everybody was talking about, you know what, the Sony has no games. They can't talk about games because that's not what the PS3 is all about.
Yeah, I mean, right now I'm looking at my PlayStation, the discs which are compatible with my PlayStation. Let's call it that. Right now I have 2 PS3 games and 8 Blu-ray films.
Let's see.
I mean, that's the reason why I bought a PS3, to watch Blu-ray films. I did not buy a PS3.
We were talking about The Sims, right?
Yeah, I know. Before we go off
Pokemon, and now we're talking about PS3.
I mean, going back to the Pokemon thing quickly.
About Pokemon and not The Sims.
Yeah, well, obviously, but I have friends who have Game Boy emulators on their phones, and they're going around playing Pokemon Red and Blue on their phones. I mean, there is a desire to play Pokemon, not
which
necessarily.
Which is mystifying, because I want to play Pokemon too. Even though I know after I buy it, it's going to be the same boring battles.
I know, that's why they need to spruce it up.
New Pokemon, you know, HeartGold and SoulSilver. Apparently, the gym trainers are easy to beat, and you can actually the strategy is less, and now you can just create a high level Pokemon and basically brute force your way through all the battles, no matter what the types are.
That's basically that was my experience of Pokemon Red and Blue. Just fill her up with rare candies and let her rip. But the thing is, though, that really, this is what Nintendo needs to do with Pokemon. I know we've come miles off topic.
Kill it?
Well, no, because obviously...
No, what Nintendo needs to do is make the frickin' Pokemon MMO. That's what people want.
I don't think they do.
Yes, they do, because they did make a Pokemon MMO and Nintendo squashed it. There was a fan-made Pokemon MMO, and Nintendo said, no, you can't do that, even though tons of players were enjoying it.
Mm. But the thing is, though,
Nintendo, listen to your fans for once. You know, they don't want Wii music. They want Pokemon MMOs.
The thing is, though, that a Pokemon Nintendo-made Pokemon MMO would be chaos, because you'd have friend codes, and it just wouldn't
Whose
work.
Whose fault is that now,
Well, obviously, but the thing is, this is what Nintendo needs to do with Pokemon.
Nintendo
they need to...
puts more smiles on more faces, except for their devoted fans. They just piss them the hell off.
This is what they need to do, okay? They need to strip every single Pokemon apart from the original 151. Let's keep it at 151, okay? Let's keep it simple. They need to have some kind of, like, 3D Wii title that has a stadium mode, but then you can also walk around a whole world.
I would do the opposite. I would say 2,000 Pokemon, 3,000.
No.
Make it so that it's impossible to collect them all, that there'll always be one that you can't find, and they all have different effects.
That's the thing, though. I mean, people who I know kind of... There are two types of people I know. There's the one that kind of got bored after Red and Blue and Yellow, and there's the ones that just keep buying every single game because they just something in their head keep telling, like a little voice in their head keeps telling them they need to buy it.
Maybe it's because of a card game. I don't know.
The ones.
Remember, all this came from a collectible card game.
Yeah, but no, the collectible card game came.
But the collectible card game made it the addictive thing that it is now. I remember 10 years ago, I couldn't walk 5 feet in Central Park without a bunch of kids playing Pokemon.
Yeah, I know, but the thing is, though, that like the card game was kind of based off the video game, and then when it went full circle and released the card game video game, it bombed. That's the funny thing, because people wanted to play with the cards.
XBLA, Yu-Gi-Oh's coming out.
Oh, don't get me started. Another thing that really annoys me is the rip-offs, the Yu-Gi-Oh's, the Digimons. I don't care if they came first.
Yeah, but they're still popular too. I mean, kids don't care if they're rip-offs. They know they're rip-offs, but they don't care. What about
kids of today, eh?
Dragon Ball Z? I mean, come on. Dragon Ball Z, the cartoon, makes me want to claw my own eyes out.
Yes, and the games especially.
Forget the games, just the dialogue and the characters and all that stuff. You know, but the thing is, if you say Super Saiyan to someone, they're gonna get a hard on. Well, as much of a hard on as a 10-year-old can get, but still, you know, I don't understand the obsession with that with Dragon Ball Z. It's
But let's put it this way: if we carry on talking about Dragon Ball Z, this podcast is going to go on for over 9,000 minutes.
You know what? We've already derailed it. It's derailed. Let's talk about the PS3 and let's talk about lawsuits.
Yeah, let's just get this one out of the way and then we'll finish it here, because
we got more stuff to do. I'm torturing you now. Sony's been sued by a gamer for them dumping Linux, quote unquote, other OS. They're expecting the suit to be worth no less than $5 million. And basically, Anthony Ventura bought a PS3 around July 2007 for $500 plus tax. And part of his decision was that it had Linux, which Sony advertises being available on the system. The lawsuit supports that with 10 public statements made by Sony executives promoting the feature and promising to maintain it. The suit maintains that users who choose to keep their other operating system will find they can't access the PSN network. They can't play PS3 games online. They can't play new PS3 games. They can't play new Blu-ray videos. And new Blu-ray discs could disable the Blu-ray drive entirely if they contain an AACS host revocation list. And videos on DTCP/IP mediums will be disabled. that's a big price for people who want to keep, you know, who want to keep Linux on their system. And Sony totally screwed up in several ways here. One, they should have never had Linux on the PS3 in the first place. Two, they should have never, you know, gotten rid of it and made penalized people for still owning it. And all of this is in the name of piracy. But what Sony doesn't get is that there's going to be piracy no matter what they do.
Well, the thing is, though, that, I mean, there's two
I know
things.
You're going to start claiming that Sony has eminent domain over everything, and there's probably some fine language that says, well, you know, we
yeah, that,
want.
I mean,
but that's not entirely true.
Think of the backs. It's, I mean, they covered their backs. There is a reason
they didn't
why
cover
they
their
have
backs,
a legal
though.
Department.
Because
the
what
they
did was they went out and blathered about how they had Linux and how great it was and how they'd maintain it forever. You know, and the thing is,
well,
that,
they never
okay,
said they'd maintain
okay,
it forever.
Fine, you want to remove Linux, fine. But when you start screwing around with people, you know, taking away other stuff because you remove Linux, that's plain wrong. You can't do that. You can't remove features if you remove Linux, you know, from your PS3. I mean, fine, you can remove Linux from the PS3 in the update, but you can't penalize people who decide not to download a firmware update. That would be like me being penalized for removing Explorer from my system, and all of a sudden I can't get email and I can't get, you know.
But the thing is, though, I mean, that's a completely different situation because you could download a different browser and whatever, but I mean, the thing is that I kind of side with Sony on this one. Now, I know people would probably say, look, shouldn't you be
Here's
fighting
a question.
The little man? But
why hasn't Microsoft put Windows OS on their 360?
Because, well, I mean, you say every week, the 360 is a DRM box. It would also, if they put Windows on the 360, it would leave it open to viruses. And to be honest, it's just one of those kind of things where if it's a closed garden, then it's going to be
This guy has a bunch of games on that are compatible with Linux that he has on his PS3 that they're saying he won't be able to use anymore.
Well, I mean, that's put it this way. At the end of the day, piracy, I mean, we can all say that piracy is a bad thing. I mean,
yeah, but you see, the thing is that, yeah, piracy, but this isn't about piracy. This is about...
It is about piracy, though. At the end of the
day,
it's
about consumer trust, because Sony kept on saying, we have Linux. Look, it's cool. You know, they kept on throwing the kitchen sink into the PS3. Oh, look, it has Blu-ray. Oh, it can do this. Oh, it can do that.
But you can't have everything, though.
Oh, it can give you a blowjob. Hey, look at this.
But you can't have everything, though, because that's the thing.
Get a blowjob from the PS3.
Okay,
now, you know, they take it away, and what kind of consumer confidence is that?
Well, no, because the thing
they
is, right?
PS2 backwards compatibility.
That's because of hardware issues. But like,
that
put it this
hardware
way,
hardware issues.
It was
making, the hardware issue was making the PS3 expensive. That's what the hardware issue was.
Yeah, and if you also put it this way, you can't have the moon on a stick if you want to play PS2 games.
Here's the thing: is why
you have to pay the price of paying for an expensive console. If you want a cheaper console, then fine. You've got to give and take here and there.
But
here's
the thing about Linux
is that if you have it there,
why? Because now Sony is selling PS2 games from PSN. Oh, big surprise! Hey, you know what? Launch PS3s could play God of War 1 and 2 just fine. As a matter of fact, God of 2 actually had software which would upscale itself to the PS3, but you know what? It's more money to sell the God of War collection.
But the thing is, the thing about Linux is that if Sony left it there, right, then the thing is it would leave it open to be exploited. You'd have a problem with piracy. And then the thing is, we've had this conversation just about every single week about piracy on the PC and how developers do not want to develop for the PC because at the end of the day, it just won't be economical for them. If you leave Linux in there, it'll leave open for piracy, and then they port it over to the PC.
Now it's profitable.
Yeah, but if you leave Linux in there, it'll leave it open for being exploited.
Mod Xbox 360, they can mod a PS3 too.
Yeah, but then they get their consequences, by being kicked off Xbox Live.
Well, they can't get kicked off PSN if they mod it. because they don't.
Well, evidently they have. If they want to mod it, if they want to exploit Linux, then the thing is you can't access PSN.
But the thing is, modding is a hardware exploit. It's not a software exploit. I mean, Linux just, you know, Linux made it. It made it possible for them to sneak in and find it. I'm going to tell you what happened. Sony
still an exploit.
Ubisoft. That's what
it
happened.
Doesn't matter if it's a software or hardware exploit. It's still an exploit.
Regardless,
that's why I've got,
I mean, there are plenty of people.
That's
who,
why I've got.
There
that's
are plenty
got,
of people who are legally using their PS3 and using Linux and had nothing to do with piracy. They were playing their games, and now Sony says, "No, you can't do it."
Well, yeah, and I sympathize with them, but the thing is, you can't have everything in life, and you can't have everything on a stick.
With the 360, you can, because you can be sure that Microsoft says, hey, as long as you're not modding your 360, no matter what we did, you can still have it. I mean, if you still have Yaris, even though it's no longer available, hey, you can keep Yaris. Lost Cities is no longer available, but
why isn't everyone kicking off? If this is the attitude you want to put the like go about
how
it,
many stories
then why
do you have
you
of Sony
about
banning consoles?
No, but let's just
how
put
many,
it this way.
How many PS3s have been banned because they're modded?
None, because the exploit hasn't been there hasn't been an exploit
it
found.
To do with Linux, that's not modding. They're talking about cracking the PS3 before through Linux because they used that software to do it, but they didn't need it. It would have just taken longer. There is no such thing as an uncrackable hardware. Apple found that out with the iPhone.
No, but the thing is, though, that if you had Linux in there, then you would have all these problems. But if you take it out, then that means there won't be any problems.
Oh,
look,
please.
I know.
You know what? I don't want a sip of that Kool-Aid. It had nothing to do with it. Linux.
It had everything to do with it.
No. It
so, okay,
helped,
then.
But
okay,
it
okay, then. Until someone mentioned, like, everything was cool with Linux until someone mentioned, hey, I've got an exploit. And then suddenly it has to go.
It wasn't an exploit. It was hacking.
It was. Well, it's exactly the same thing. It was
but the
done
thing
through
is
software.
That they really need Linux? No. They didn't really need Linux any more than they needed whatever OS was on the iPhone. It's a hardware exploit. And getting back to the legal user, he has every right to sue because he just got screwed. He said he didn't do anything wrong.
So, okay, so
and suddenly he has stuff that he can't use anymore.
If that's the attitude that you want to have to people taking away, like the soft, like the company taking away stuff, then how come
but
no one has kicked off? How come no one has kicked off about being able to play original Xbox games on live on the 360 yet?
Because the thing is that
it's exactly the same thing. It is exactly the same thing. Apart from because it's Microsoft and it's not like and they
no because it's not costing them anything. Because if you you still have to pay the same $50 for the original Xbox Live as you do for the 360 Xbox Live.
So if there was if you paid
and if you're still using
PSN,
Xbox to log on to your to Live, then that's like complaining that you know they're banned from PSN because their PS2 isn't working, or something like that. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. The Xbox was discontinued in 2005. Period. End of story.
But it was still an advertised feature. It's exactly the same thing.
Compatibility was not an advertised. It was not. I'm sorry. Backwards compatibility was never intended for Xbox Live.
It was a bullet point on the box.
It was a bullet point that you could actually play the games, not play online.
It's the same thing. It's included. If I have a Blu-ray disc, okay.
But that's the thing. And now let me ask you a question.
If your
360 is banned from Xbox Live, can you still play DVDs on it?
Yes.
But now you can't play your a Blu-ray movie on your thing because you refuse to have the firmware update? Are they concerned with movie piracy now? Banning your Blu-ray discs? I want you to defend that one, Richard.
What? Not being able to use a Blu-ray? It's
not being able to watch your movies? You can,
because it's different.
You can ban a 360 5 waves from Sundays from Live, but you'll still be able to watch movies on it.
That's the thing, though. The DVD standard is a standard that's static.
You still,
always
what does
being
that have
the
to
same.
Do with PSP games? What does it have, what does playing Blu-ray discs have to do with Linux?
Well, it's
are they
exactly
start
the
going
same
after
kind
movie
of situation.
Piracy? I'm going to tell you something. Okay. People don't pirate the Blu-ray discs using their PS3. They powered it with their PC. And maybe
there isn't burning software.
Maybe Sony should find maybe Sony should find a way to ban Linux from PCs too. Because it ain't happening.
Well, that's the thing. Because if you use Linux, then you're barred out of the Blu-ray drive. You can't use a Blu-ray with Linux.
Why should?
You could use a Blu-ray drive.
That's just punitive for people who decide not to download a firmware update. I mean, you can have your old dashboard, you can have your old pre-NXE dashboard if you want, It's not going to stop you from playing 360 games, and it's not going to stop you from watching movies, but this will.
Well, no, because...
It's a firmware update!
No, because, there are some games which will on for the 360 which will refuse to play unless you update them. It's exactly the same thing.
This is what happened. Sony screwed up by including Linux, and now they're saying, oops, and they're getting crap for it. And you know what? This guy, despite all the boilerplates that are on the PS3, has a good chance of winning.
I don't think he's got cat's chance in hell.
Let me ask you a question. You know what? You know why he has a good chance?
Why?
Movies.
I still can't see. I mean, it's
when
you buy a product
that Sony has banned, and you know what? Sony has banned it lawsuits because they almost always lose them too.
Well, then they need to get a better legal department. Then
they gotta take their head out of their buttocks. You know, this is not on our thing, but I was bashed by Derek Schommer on Too Old to Play because I said that Sony, putting out a new PSP would save Sony no matter how badly. Because the thing is that it saved Nintendo, the Game Boy Advance, because the 64 and the GameCube were in third place. And he was on my face, saying how, this wouldn't work because Sony always has to add extra stuff. And I said, and my response is, you know what? If Sony put out a PSP2 that did one thing and only one thing, and that was play games with dual controls, with all the stuff that you'd find on a PS3 controller, it would sell like hotcakes. If it just did one thing, no camera, no phone ability, no UMD playing. If they want to have their PSN connection, fine. Just buy whatever discs or whatever, and you can plug it in or you can download it, and just have a PSP that had special controls but only did one thing without having to be an everything box like Sony wanted the PS3 to be and like Sony wanted the PSP to be. If the PSP had dual controls and just played games, would you buy one? Especially if it was only selling for $160 or $150.
I don't know.
I would. And if it was playing PS2 games, because it would have that sort of PS2 level games, because it would have that sort of, by the time it came out, it would have that sort of capability.
I don't know. Probably. I don't really see a point in that console.
If it just had a simple, PS2 compatibility sort of, in terms of programming, you could just port old PS2 games and refix them, and it would sell. And then Sony could do what Nintendo does, they sent out the DS, now they have the DS Slim, and now they have the DSi, and now they're going to have the DXXL, and now they're going to come out with a 3DS, All the same hardware with minor changes. So the DS is slowly becoming an everything box, right? But it's still costing the same, $180 as the first DS did. Sony doesn't even seem to understand, because they want to sell their TVs. That's where the 3D stupidity comes with a PS3, which leads us to our next story.
Well, thank God you've said that, because I'm... Okay, now, moving on. What's next?
There's some new patches for MotorStorm and Whiteout HD, which will allow 3D functionality for your brand new $500 3D TV. Except there's a catch. And the catch is that they look like garbage because the PS3 can't really handle 3D. Wipeout HD goes from 1080p to 720p, and it runs on half. It has a 30 frames per second down from 60 frames per second. MotorStorm goes from 720p, but then it goes to sub-HD resolution, and it has, again, reduced frame rate.
Well, that's because you have to produce twice as much.
Right.
So they have to, if they've only got one set of hardware, they can't double the hardware, so they've got to make cuts.
This is not the PC, and by the way, I played 3D on the PC back at PAX, and it gave me such a headache. And it didn't look that great. So you have the PC, which is basically made to do 3D because you can just swap out graphic cards and you can increase your RAM, you know. Then you have the PS3, which is weaker than a PC, and you can't swap out anything. And the 3D looks even worse. What's the point? This is something that should be with the PS4, not the PS3, if they're going to do this.
Yeah, well, 3D TV is catching on more quicker than they anticipated. That's why they've got to do it now. I
don't know about that.
And I don't even know if it's catching on, because, well, people don't want to see it in their front rooms.
This is, you know, they had a spate of 3D movies, right? I mean, and they're thinking that 3D movies are why, you know, the revenue produced by movies has gone up. No. You know why revenues have gone up for movies? Because Avatar came out and it had $2 billion worth of revenue. And it was going to have $2 billion worth of revenue, whether it was in 3D or not. It's James Cameron. The Titanic.
I don't know.
It's in 3D.
I don't know. I don't think I would have gone and seen it personally if it wasn't in 3D.
No, it was a 3D. It was a visual effects extravaganza, 3D or not. Look, Clash of the Titans is proving whether you have 3D or not, if it's a bad movie, it's not going to make money.
Yeah, I know, but that's a completely, because they had to go back, and it's a different type of 3D. This was made for 3D. That was, Clash of the Titans is a 3D film that they retrofitted.
Even if it's post-production 3D, it doesn't matter. It's not going to win or sell. If it had 3D from the very start, if they incorporated it during production, it wasn't going to make it earn more money. You have to make a movie that people want to see in the first place. You know, and you think you're going to be wearing those glasses for 2 or 3 hours straight? At home?
No.
Especially if other people not wearing the glasses are going to get splitting migraines.
it's the virtual boy all over again.
But here's the other thing is that this goes back to Sony wanting their PS3 to be, you know, a 10-year thing, you know? Well, that's fine. In 2012, when the Xbox 720 and the Wii 2 come out, and even the Wii 2 has graphics that kick the PS3's ass, what are you going to do then? You know,
well, I don't think.
Are you gonna stick with the PlayStation 3 till 2016? Come on,
probably not.
No, even if the 720 comes out in 2014, it's gonna have a 2-year head start on the 3. And you know, we'll see if Natal is the 3D space that people really want. So we'll see. By the way, people have been playing Alan Wake. I mean, reviewers and people, and they've been raving about it. They're blown away by it. I mean, the character models are sort of chintzy because it was 2006. They say the rest of the graphics are amazing.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that's kind of concerning me about it is that the reviewers are dropping it for Halo Reach and are not putting Reach down.
They're dropping Halo 3 for it too. Halo Reach is just the 5,000-pound gorilla in the room. It's just going to be a monster. And when it comes out, Halo 2 is probably the most successful Halo game ever released. I know you're going to think, well, what about Halo 3? But it didn't have the same impact as Halo 2 did. You know,
I don't think this one will have as big of
Halo
impact.
Reach is going to kick buttocks. Because one thing that Halo 2 had over Halo 3, and it was the deciding factor, is the multiplayer and the clan support. And all that other stuff. And basically what Bungie is doing with Halo Reach is it's seeing all the things that went right in Halo 2 and all the things that went right in Halo 3 and combining them and adding some stuff.
I don't think there's still enough to make it
It's going to surpass Halo 2. And besides, it's going to surpass it for you because it has jetpacks.
I've kind of gone cold to the jetpacks now. Seeing some of the reaction online to the actual gameplay of the jetpacks.
Once you're boosting yourself into the air, your opinion will change. I know it.
No, because you are becoming literally a flying target. You are becoming the ducks from Duck Hunt.
I'm really looking forward to is the fact that you can flash on an armor that makes you almost invulnerable to vehicles and damages the vehicles. Because that's one thing in Halo that's always annoyed me is getting killed by a vehicle.
Yeah, well, splattered. like from out of nowhere.
I mean, I enjoy doing it to other people, but...
And I mean, there was always that trailer where when the beta was coming out for Halo 3, I think. I think it was the beta, was maybe it was just before the game came out. What, where they were talking about the equipment.
Oh.
And the guy dropped a trip mine as a warthog was coming straight towards him. I've tried doing that, and it's nigh on impossible, or it's always an afterthought.
Well, you have to plant those wrong.
Well,
it's like Duke Nukem Forever. I mean, not Duke Nukem Forever. Oh, God. Duke Nukem 3D. You know, you have to put those laser tripwires in the right place, where no matter how good a player is, sometimes they'll fall for it. So, But anyways, you know. Like I said, this is Ralph Crandon territory. I mean, I'm pretty sure 3D TVs will be de rigueur, but you know what? It took 20 years for HD after it was introduced to become big, you know? And that's only because, you know what you have to do? People ain't going to buy a new TV until their current TV fails. And that's the way it is.
I mean, I can say, I know Sony are just doing this to be able to sell the 3D TVs, but I mean, if it's
that's all they can do because their PS3s still lose money on it, you know, and they're losing money on their TVs too. They had to come out with something new and say, "Hey, look, 3D is big in theaters. Let's put out a 3D TV." And I'm wondering about Sharp because Sharp is coming out with their 3D TV, which is five parallax screens, which is basically 3D without needing the glasses. I mean, that's what the 3DS is going to be powered by.
And the thing is, though, that there's going to be so many different standards for 3D that you're not going to be able to have it for everyone.
Yeah. Last story. And I know.
Yay!
And this one is a pretty big one in certain regions. Blizzard has KO'd talks with the StarCraft League. Now, if you remember, Blizzard was slapped with an AO for StarCraft 2 in Korea, which is sort of a big deal. And they've appealed it. And now they've broken off negotiations with the Korean Esports Players Association, otherwise known as KESPA, which is largely responsible for televised StarCraft matches in the country. Now, you may not know this, but Blizzard doesn't make a dime for those StarCraft matches on TV.
That is kind of surprising.
Yeah. Central to the conflict between Blizzard and KESPA are the intellectual property rights to StarCraft and the upcoming sequel. KESPA operates tournaments without licensing the game, and Blizzard would like to be paid a fee as another party is profiting off its IP. Blizzard has previously attempted to run its own tournaments through GOM TV Internet Invitational Tournaments, but KESPA has blocked those because they're big and powerful. And they've basically shut down Blizzard's sanctioned tournaments. So now you see, it's believed that KESPA had a role in getting StarCraft II rated AO. Now, the reason for that is because I don't think they want Blizzard StarCraft II tournaments, you know, horning in on their territory. Because, you know, Blizzard could just basically say, hey, look, any StarCraft II tournaments, we're running. And another interesting fact is that KESPA has been implicated in match fixing. Isn't that sweet? Top players were accused of throwing matches while conspiring with gambling groups to profit. This is new information has suggested that KESPA was aware that this was going on.
It's just the whole Korean gaming league. Stupid.
But I mean. This is worse than, say, Donaghy with the NBA in the U.S., you know? Can you imagine something as big as the StarCraft tournaments? And we all know that that's massive in Korea. I mean, you can switch I'm pretty sure that any given minute of the day, if one channel will be running a tournament on TV there. Something that big. It's sort of like the 21 controversy in the U.S. in the 1950s.
It's just how they've had the whole scandal over there and now about this AO rating. It's just ridiculous. I can't. I don't know what to say.
I'm jealous. Could you imagine if Major League Gaming was as big here in the Western countries as it was in Korea, you know, in which people would have televised Halo matches and you'd have commentators talking about this and that. You know, I think it would be cool.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, that the people over here, they actually want to play the games themselves, if you know what I mean. It's if Rock Band has taught me anything, it's that playing a game is 20,000 times better than actually sitting down watching someone else.
That's not true with Halo, though. I mean, Game Studio's most popular story ever was the traffic cone death.
But that's the thing, though. It's not actual physical first person. You're looking through.
No, but see, that's not how it works, though, you know, because you have the third-party camera and you can watch certain things happening. I mean,
yes,
you don't have to run these tournaments
live.
I mean, what's on ESPN? They have tape-delayed Texas Hold'em poker tournaments. Tape-delayed Texas Hold'em tournaments, and they're popular. And that's like watching paint dry. You know? I mean, all you have to do is present it the right way, you know, with good enough editing and funny enough announcers, you know?
I think that's the whole thing. You need to get a format right. And I don't think the formats that they presented over here in the past.
And let's compare a game like Halo with StarCraft. StarCraft is an RTS. And people are riveted. Riveted by it. Now,
one of the things
that they do with StarCraft, by the way, is they play it at turbo speed, which I can't imagine anybody playing, you know? Could you imagine people playing Halo that speed? Maybe that's what they need. Maybe they need turbo Halo, you know, which everybody's running at four times the regular speed, you know, having to do things much faster, which is basically what sports are, really. I mean, the difference between high school baseball and professional baseball, the game is much faster. I mean, the same thing with soccer or football, you know. They always talk about how the major league sport is so much faster and you have to do so much more thinking. And now that I think about it, when I played Unreal Tournament, I always loved playing Instajib.
Okay, that means nothing to me, but
it means one hit with the gun and you explode into a shower of jibs.
Oh, so
you don't have
one hit kills.
So you need Insta-Jib Halo.
You know, well, they already have
shot
that kind
with of laser, and you're dead.
But they already do have that. It's called SWAT, and no one likes it.
Well, you need the way to make it make people want it is to make it with these glowing laser beams and make it faster.
But the thing is, though, that I think in the U.S. the whole kind of military side of it is more...
Well, they're taking that away slowly, bit by bit. I mean, now you have dodge rolls and sprinting.
Yeah, but the whole... But I still think that there is
dodge
a reason
rolls
why...
rolls and sprinting.
I can still see, though, why... I mean, Bungie, whenever they put the stats up, they always prove that the most popular actual guns on the game are the UNSC ones.
Well...
So, I mean, I still think there is some credibility in the fact that people want to be playing, even though it is
set
in the future and you are fighting aliens, they still want to be, like, playing with physical, looking guns.
You missed the point here. You see, the difference between SWAT mode and Insta-Jib is that SWAT mode, you just crumple down and die. Insta-Jib, you just explode into a bunch of jibs and you fly up, your parts are scattered. There's more of a ha-ha, gotcha sort of aspect to it.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, though, that isn't really part of Halo, so I mean...
But like I said, dodge rolls and sprinting.
Yeah, but I mean, the whole point of Halo is...
It's changing. Dodge rolls and...
Yeah, but I don't think it's changing to the point where people are exploding left, right, and center.
They will. Give it to Halo 6, you know.
No.
Then they'll come up with new Covenant weapons, a new Spartan, you know, UNSC weapons that just, you know, make you explode into a shower of jibs, you know, without having to worry, without having to wait about charging like the Spartan beam or something. So, what have you been playing this week?
Like I said earlier, I mean, picked up Vice City, been playing a bit of that. What else have I been playing? Rock Band, played a bit of Rock Band. This week, some of the songs have been a bit weak. Some of the people online have been saying, like, who are these bands? But one of them kind of goes back to my childhood. There is a band on there called Busted. who were the kind of like a kind of cross between your pop boy band and Blink 182 kind of style punky music. And I mean, that's just taken me back so many years. Basically, I've literally bought the song and then consequently bought the album and bought both albums, in fact. And yeah, so basically that's what I've been doing this week, just playing Rock Band, Vice City, chilling out with some 80s music and some early noughties music, late 90s music.
I've been in LA for past, you know, over half the week, so I haven't played anything. But there is a new demo out on Marketplace for Split Second, which people are getting excited over.
Yeah, I played that, and it was kind of... I still prefer Blur. I mean,
that's going to be the big divide right now. It's going to be Split Second, which is Disney Interactive, and you have Blur, which is Bizarre Creations.
Yeah, the
and
thing
both
is,
of them
though,
have their points.
The thing is, though, that Split Second, it's kind of like explosions hit left, right, and center, but
which makes it Filippo's game.
Yeah, but the thing is,
but the problem is, Blur does not have jetpacks.
Yeah, the cars
but it does have
just
turbo. But it, so I guess that could be like a jetpack when you go into turbo.
But the thing is, though, that like the cars are stiff and it's hard to steer. Well, it's not hard to steer, but I mean, it feels clunky. Whereas Blur, I mean, it's nice and smooth and
well. The difference between the two is this: Blur, the cars are directly attacking each other, and in Split Second, they're indirectly attacking each other.
I prefer the
Split Second. They're bringing down buildings. They're causing cargo planes to crash.
Yeah, I mean, while it is nice to see a building fall down and then land on your opponent, and you being able to go, ha ha, I've just squashed you to death. I mean, at the same time, there's also a lot more satisfaction in seeing a red ball missile kind of thing fly forward and smack him in the back of the car and blow up.
Well, so the thing is, the Blur matches I think are a little bit faster paced. I mean, you do the two circuits or how many laps that you do, you know, they seem to be over in like, you know, a very short period of time. So it's like, even if you lose badly, you know, it's like you don't have to wait long to start a new game and try again.
Oh, another thing I picked up this week, for the iPhone, I picked up Street Fighter 4.
How does it control? How are those virtual controls?
Strangely enough, I seem to be doing better on the iPhone version than I did on the 360 version.
Wow. That's because the D-pad on the 360. Although, if you bought Street Fighter 4 on the 360, you bought the control stick.
Yeah.
It's really as simple as that.
I also bought Angry
Have you
Birds.
Bought Super Street Fighter?
No, Angry Birds, which is addicting as...
Everybody's been raving about that. And
it's,
another
it's
game
crack.
I can't remember the name of.
It's crack cocaine for the iPod. It's insane. It really is. You're firing birds from a catapult and trying to knock down little green things. It's crazy. You don't understand just how addicting it is until you actually sit down and start flicking them and thinking, oh, this is quite fun.
Right.
And then like 5 minutes later, you're still thinking, this is quite fun. And then an hour later, you're still thinking, this is quite fun. So it's like Cannibal, but with flicking things and stuff.
I did complete the campaign on the iPod version of Plants vs. Zombies. It only took me a little bit longer because I was busy doing other stuff. But, you know, it's no. Plants vs. I can't wait for it to be in the XBLA. So, you know, I'm a total Plants vs. Zombies whore. I bought it on PC. I bought it on the iPod. And I'm going to be buying it on XBLA.
Achievements. Achievements.
I don't worry about trophies. The problem about trophies, by the way, is there's no cumulative stat, you know? Like, I mean, you have your gamer score on the 360, but how can you, you know? I have 25 trophies. What does that even mean?
There's no
this one's black.
Worth
this one
to
is
them.
Gold, so what?
There's no, like, worth to them. Whereas, like, you can say, oh, I got an achievement for 125 gamer score.
The problem with that is that you can't get trophies with every PS3 game. And the other thing is they started late in the PS. They started relatively late in the PS3 cycle, so it's sort of like, oh, we got to catch up, you know. So it's not like you bought a PS3 and from when you from that moment on, you were getting achievement points or trophies, you know. And one of the things about it's very canny achievements, because even if you bought the worst game in the universe, you're still going to get rewarded for it by getting achievements for it. There's some games that sell themselves at achievements, you know. Hey, that, you know, you should rent this game because it has easy achievements on it.
Well, I mean, I don't think the
and everybody's doing achievements now.
They're promoting renting it.
Everybody, you go to game trailers, you earn achievement points for logging on and commenting on the trailers. You go to Escapist magazine, you get badges, achievements for doing various stuff like linking your Twitter account. You know?
Whoever came up with the concept of achievements should now be sitting on a beside a pool somewhere in the Bahamas with a coconut drink.
You always had that sort of thing in which, you know, you'd get notification when you did something special on some NES games, you know, and all that stuff. But they never made it so that it was persistent, you know, and that you could show everybody. And every time you get an achievement or a trophy, you have that satisfying little click. It's a, oh yeah, score. That little pat on the back saying, hey, guess what? You did something. Here's your cake. You know?
Whereas the PS3, the cake is a lie.
Well, whenever the PS4 comes out, whenever that's going to be, I'm pretty sure they'll have an improved version of it. Maybe have trophies, but assign numerical values to them so that they have their own pseudo little gamer score without actually calling it achievements. I remember when they said they were going to come out with it, they were going to call them entitlements. Does Sony not know how to name anything? I mean, they call multiplayer on the PSP ad hoc. Stop being so technical. What is, you say, you got an entitlement. Well, gee, I feel entitled now. What does that mean? Achievements. Yes, you did something. Entitlements. Well, you know what? We're going to give it to you because you're, you know, now entitled to it. Anyways, I think we've done quite enough Sony bashing on this podcast, and I'm going to be accused of being a Microsoft fanboy.
Well, I
did praise the Nintendo Wii, so I'm no longer anti-Wii, see? That's how it is.
Yeah, well, I think I did my fair share of praising the PS3 this week.
Yeah, well, oh yeah, you defended Sony for them pulling Linux from there.
I still stand behind that.
Yeah,
you're not gonna change
you're going to be a shill for Sony. So people are going to accuse you of that.
Hey, what did I say? I have 2 PS3 games and 8 Blu-ray films. So
did you rip them onto your PS3?
What, the Blu-ray films?
Yeah.
You can't.
You can? Oh, I didn't know that. That's a plus for Sony owners. Of course, you know, you have to have the massive hard drive, but that's not a problem. See, that's the other problem, by the way. By the way, you're talking about Linux. The fact that you can hook up hard drives willy-nilly onto your PS3 is a bigger ticket. So unless Sony wants to ban people from logging their hooking up their hard drives to PS3s, they're never going to be able to stop it, because they have their modded games on their hard drives.
Well, I mean, they did kind of stop it, because I mean, there was the what do they call it? There was some kind of ROM, is it JROM or something like that, which was something that they originally had on Blu-ray discs.
Oh, okay.
As a kind of application and like an executable application. And then people were using that to make emulators for NES games and stuff like
that.
And then they took that away. So, I mean,
yeah,
it's not as if
what?
They've started taking stuff away in the past and no one's ever...
Sony and Nintendo have to understand something. Homebrew is not the end of the world. Homebrew is good. Welcome, homebrew. I mean, Microsoft buried it a little bit, calling them indie games now, but XNA, you know, should have been... You know, Microsoft really dropped the ball with XNA. I mean, they should have promoted it better. Some of the games are really, really good.
There are some really good games out there. I mean,
I made a game with zombies for one.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, James Silver is like the god of XNA games.
Yeah, I actually have a friend of mine who's sending messages to me that he's gotten these high scores in an indie game, XNA game. Hold on while I... So my friend Rowdy is bragging that he got 228 points on Home Run Challenge, which is an indie game, which makes me, you know, maybe I should try out Home Run Challenge. The only problem with XNA games, and Microsoft should have done something, is they should have had at least two, you know, allowed some achievements on them, like, you know, like make 20 points of worth of achievements. You know, they should have, because then people would be buying them, you know, just to earn, you know, hey, they're just two, it's just 20 points worth of achievements, but they're 20 points worth of achievements. Gotta have it, gotta have it. You know, so, oh, spend a buck on them? Well, 20 achievement points for a buck? Yeah, I'll do it. Microsoft, you know, they know that achievements are gold to gamers, but they have to exploit it more. I guess they don't want to cheapen it somehow, but the thing is, I don't think you can cheapen achievement points. The only way you can do it is cheapen them is to make them too easy. That's the only way you can if a game has two achievement points, right, but they're really difficult to get, that's not cheapening gamer score.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, that with more people releasing games for indie games, I mean, there's...
Yeah, but like I said, you have a limit for that, you know? I mean, XBLA games, you can only get 200 Microsoft points. Indie games just make it even smaller, make it you can only get 20, you know?
Yeah, but then there'll be people who will be releasing games with easy achievements as their...
You'd have to go through registration for Microsoft to get an achievement points anyway, so...
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be that easy. You'd have to be Microsoft approved. And a lot of these indie games are never going to be XBLA games either.
No.
So you might as well have, you know, some small achievements for it. Anyway.
Yeah. I think we've gone on a bit too much this episode.
No, we've gone just right, so... So tomorrow is going to be the Halo Reach beta for everybody. I'm going to wonder how much of a logjam downloading the beta is going to be tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, they've said that it's going to come out mid to late morning.
But you see, that's why there are two reasons why people got the beta keys early. There's two reasons why. One, Microsoft legally cannot force people to buy ODST to run this beta. It's considered a contest, and you can't do that. There must be a way to do it free. So yep, they decided to give handouts for it. The other thing is to stagger some people from having, you know, you have some people downloading it a couple of days ago. You have some people downloading it now. You'll have some, you know, so you have people downloading it so that there isn't as much of a lag time on it.
Yeah, and then also they won't be getting as much bad press from having
forced
slow
people
downloads
to play ODST, yeah.
Yeah,
I don't want to say because I loved ODST. It's not like it was a bad game. I mean, look at Crackdown. I mean, Crackdown was a great game, and you know, Crackdown 2 is coming out, and they don't have to put anything on it for people to want to play it.
I still can't believe we're actually talking about Halo Reach here.
Why?
I mean,
it's coming out tomorrow.
I know. Right, well, that's the thing. It only seems like yesterday since they announced the damn thing, and everyone was like, what? There's another Halo game?
What do you mean? It was a couple of months ago.
I know, but it seems like yesterday. To me, anyway.
What, did you really think Halo 3 ODST was going to be the last Halo game for a while?
No, but I mean, it did feel like it was going to be...
We're talking about downloading the Gears of War 3 demo. That's when I'll be like, didn't we just announce, you know, that there was a rumor coming out there was going to be Gears of War 3 in 2011? That's the one that's sneaking up on me. Also, you know, I think Black Ops also snuck up on me a little bit, too. Because with all the troubles going on with Infinity Ward, you know, it was sort of like, oh, that's right, Treyarch makes Call of Duty games, too, duh.
But the thing is, that really is... a bit strange to me is how Bungie has made this announcement literally
nine months in the making now.
I know, but they're treading on the announcement is treading on.
It's not really because you know what people are saying. Oh well, you know, like oh, Halo Reach beta, yay! So they actually did it at the right time. Because they did it a few days before that news would be all of a sudden, you know, it's like, oh, Bungie's, oh, wow, Bungie's doing action. Oh, Halo Reach. Yeah, let's play. People will forget. Well, they're not going to forget, but they're going to say, you know, if there's any Halo fanboys or any Microsoft fanboys, You know, it's like, oh, shoot, Bungie's going multi-platform. Well, for one thing, we knew they were going to go multi-platform at some point when Microsoft gave them a freedom in the first place.
Yeah, and I mean, the other thing
and
is that this...
You see, Microsoft still had that first right of first refusal, so apparently Microsoft said, nah, you can go on. And the thing is, this is sort of, you know, like I said, Bungie said they're going to be making Halo in 10 years, which means after this entire thing with Activision is over, they're going to start working on Halo 4 or whatever about a year before, you know, that thing is expired, you know, and it's going to be like, as soon as the Activision deal is up, they'll say, hey, guess what? Halo 4!
At which point, I can't see Halo being a Mario. I can see it easily.
Well, no. See, the thing is, you still have 343 Industries, which are going to be making Halo games. You know,
yeah,
it's made
by
Bungie people. But the thing is that it's going to be an earthquake when Bungie says, guess what? Halo 4! It's going to be like an explosion, especially since you're going to have all those years in which, you know, you have these other Halo games, which are probably going to be popular. I mean, it's not like they're going to have decreased quality because, like I said, you have Frank O'Connor shepherding them. But when it's like Bungie, Halo 4, you know, remember the applause that they had for Halo Reach at the Spike TV Awards? It was like an explosion. I mean, Final Fantasy did not get that kind of reception. Batman Arkham Asylum 2 did not get that reception. But when Bungie's logo came up, it was like the entire audience went nuts. They said, oh, it's Halo Reach, but is it? Yes, it's Bungie. That's Richard's response.
Yeah, that's become my trademark. I'm not so sure.
Dismissive Richard mutter. Some other podcast stuff before we sign off. Only two people have entered into the episodes from Liberty City for the PS3 contest. Guys, I need more comments. I can't give it away. You know, I need more people. And the thing is, we have hundreds of subscribers. I know that from the stats. So there's a couple hundred of you who are not responding. I'm going to make it very simple. www.gamestooge.com. On the side there for the tags, click on podcasts. Go to episode 9. Go to this episode. Episode 9 and episode 10. Just say whatever you like. One of them commented on your accent, by the way, Richard.
Oh, thank you.
They said it sounded fake.
Oh.
they said your British accent sounded fake.
That's nice.
But
yeah.
Comment on anything about the show, Richard accent. Whether you think it's fake or not. Comment on Halo Reach. Comment on Filippo not being here. Comment on anything. Just comment, you know, and you'll be eligible to get a free copy. I mean, even if you don't own a PlayStation 3, just, you know, you can give it to your friends. You can sell it on eBay. We're giving this away.
Just trying to think of something to prove that my accent isn't fake and I am indeed living in England and sipping tea and... I don't know how to respond to that.
You can go to the local store, buy yourself one of those Union Jack shirts, go to Piccadilly Square, hold a cup of tea and smile and, you know, say hip hip, choo choo. wearing a, what's it called, a Beatles cap, something like that. you can sing Tuppence, you know, feed the birds. But still, yeah. We need more comments. I'm not going to give this away with only two comments, you know. I'm going to just go from 20 to 10. Only 1% of you have to respond, okay? Enter the announcement, and by the way, the two people who did respond, I'm going to be contacting to send them their PAX booklets, because, you know, the first, you know, I already gave away one PAX booklet along with the magic cards, and I still have two PAX to give away as well for that. So, come on, respond. I want to know that you're out there, because I know we have hundreds of subscribers. We need more. And we need you to tell your friends. And we need you to rank us on iTunes and say how great we are. The two of us, you know. You don't have to say anything about Filippo because he's been missing for the past few episodes. And
I think
Richard is trying to figure out, is still trying to figure out how to prove he's British.
I think we should put something at the beginning of the episode, though. Just like redo the intro with informing them, because I mean, if people have actually survived this far into the podcast, well done, well done. My British bowler hat is off to you.
Yes, he's gonna dress up like John Steed now. Or worse, he's gonna dress up like Emma Peel.
Yeah.
Then he'd be proving he's from Monty Python. See, there we go.
I'm my plans for tomorrow, as soon as this is a British bank holiday tomorrow. A is to play Halo Reach, but that'll probably come out.
Right. What holiday is it? Bowler Day or?
It's just a bank holiday. Oh. May Day. So
you communists.
So
May Day was yesterday for us.
I mean, with the time zones and everything, the Halo Reach beta should come out in the UK sometime late afternoon-ish, very early evening time. So in the morning, I'm thinking about going to the Ministry of Silly Walks or Funny.
You know
Walks.
What? I think that the banks knew that Halo Reach was coming.
Yeah, that's
they decided. You know, people are going to be. They heard Filippo saying that he was gonna not go to class for the next few days. Banks know this. It's like the World Cup, you know. Say, you know what? People are not going to be attending, so let's just call it a bank holiday and give a day off.
Hey.
All the 360 fans are very happy with Britain right now, at least in England.
Yes, very much so.
So anyways, this has been Jonah Falcon.
And Richard Elliott, what?
And we'll be reporting on Halo Reach next episode. And hopefully you'll be there, and hopefully we'll have some more comments from people who actually want to win something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Goodbye.
See you later.
What?
Bye.
Richard Elliott, what?